Red Dirt Road here on B104.7. I am Chris. Chris is stepping aside for just a moment because we are joined right now on the phone by somebody that I've actually been looking forward to talking to since I got told that this was possible. Joshua Ray Walker is joining us on the phone. How you doing today, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Now, I got to say, I'm really excited. My friend, I got a friend who introduced me to you, and he has just done nothing but sing your praises since he came across you. So he actually was really almost more excited than I was that I get to talk to you today.
Well, it sounds like a good friend.
Yeah, he is a big fan of actually just about everybody on the State Fair record label. It's really kind of turned me on to that. So, hey, I know... got a new album that came out. It's got, of course, this is your follow-up to your debut full-length album, Glad You Made It, came out in July. But, I mean, you were putting the finishing touches on it, and then coronavirus happened, man. How are you handling, you know, the changes and everything, man? Because I know you're usually pretty busy, and now all of a sudden, home life.
Yeah. This is the longest I've been home, and the most time I've spent at home ever in my adult life. And, you know, I wasted a few weeks panicking in
sure.
March and, you know, drinking whatever booze was left in the house. And then I just kind of hit the ground running. Me and some friends, you know, the whole State Fair family is pretty tight, all the artists on the label and the employees and the owners. And we just decided, you know, it's time to kind of double down. Like, you know, we have to come out on the other side of this stronger than we went in. So, you know, I've just been working on a ton of projects. I'm already working on the third record.
Oh, nice.
You know, I'm going to have some other singles and maybe some live stuff coming out in the next year. And, you know, I launched a plus-size clothing line. I've been working on session work with my producer, John Pettigo, for a bunch of other projects he's working on. I've been doing some work at the label. You know, I'm working on some other, you know, just Ottoman Turks, my other band. Like, we recorded our second record during COVID. So we've just been trying to get as much done as we can while we have this downtime.
What is recording an album in this ridiculous year look like? I'm kind of curious about the process of that. I mean, are you doing it like in parts? One person comes in each day? Are you still trying to get together as much as possible?
Well, for the Ottoman Turks record, we had the rhythm stuff done.
Okay.
So we had like bass, drums, and scratch tracks for guitars and vocals done when this started. So we had to do overdubbing, and we tried to do that separately. And then we had a vocal day where we all needed to be there to sing harmonies and stuff. It's just easier if you're all together.
Sure.
But everyone in the band has been pretty socially conscious, I guess, about this whole thing. You know, I stayed in my house for a couple months, didn't go anywhere. I've been to one restaurant so far. You know, we've been very careful. Our bassist is actually having a baby in a few months. So, you know, he's been super careful with his wife being pregnant. And
sure.
So what we had to do was we had to set up three mics in this tracking room. They're each about 10 feet apart. We all had our backs to each other, and we were wearing masks in the mixing room. And then as we would go in there to sing, we would take our mask off right before we tracked vocals, and then when we were done, we'd have to sanitize the mics between uses. So it's definitely a lot of extra thinking and cleaning and, you know, preparation that goes into making a record right now. It's tough just rehearsing. Like, you know, we've had to rehearse outside. We're trying not to rehearse indoors, and so we've gotten a couple complaints from the neighbors and you know, things like that. So yeah, it's been interesting for sure.
Now you do have your second album out. Glad You Made It came out again in July. How's the response been to it, man?
Man, it's been incredible. Like, I was so worried putting out this record in the middle of a pandemic, and then also the whole dreaded sophomore slump. You know, like
sure
the the response we got to the first record was somewhat of a surprise. You know, it exceeded a lot of my expectations. I was not expecting to have, you know, reviews from Rolling Stone or to get the streaming numbers that I did. You know, a couple hundred people in Texas knew who I was when that album came out. And it just kind of blew up. And I got to tour all over the country and go to Europe. And, you know, it was just pretty surreal. So coming off of that, trying to kind of deliver on the second record, I already had a lot of pressure and fear of a sophomore slump. I had 10 years to make that first record. And, you know, I made the second one in like a year. And so that, you know, I was worried about that. And then the pandemic hit. And I got to say, I was actually pretty worried. And then we just received a tidal wave of praise on this record. I couldn't be more
happy. Yeah, I've seen some of it.
And grateful.
Like Rolling Stone, obviously, sing your praises. I sent a lot of the other blurbs that have come out, too. But, man, on top of that, you've also got some stuff on the Indigo playlist on Spotify. You're on all sorts of best of 2020 lists to date. Does it feel real yet? Or are you still kind of pinching yourself and waiting to wake up?
No, I mean, ever since my first single came out in September of 2018, everything has felt very surreal. It's like I said, only a few hundred people knew who I was. And I was pretty content, you know, like I was happy playing to 16 people at a dive bar. I didn't need to play theaters or whatever. I'm extremely humbled and grateful that I've gotten to do that. But, you know, I really just wanted to put music out. And so to have all this happen and have it happen so quickly has been really, you know, strange and awesome. And, yeah, I mean, the Indigo playlist, that was a huge goal of mine for this record. I hadn't been on any editorial playlist for Spotify yet, and that was, like, my big get, you know? Yeah. Like, that was at the top of the list. And for that to be my first one is crazy, and you know, getting a feature in Rolling Stone is crazy. My streaming numbers went through the roof when the album came out. And, yeah, I mean, just like the first record blew me away, you know, with the reception, this one has done the same, and in some ways is exponentially, you know, more than the first record. So I'm super happy. I just found out I'm charting at number 31. On the Americana charts, and I have a couple singles in the Texas top 100 right now. So,
well, congratulations, man.
Yeah, it's been, like I said, it doesn't feel real. It's pretty crazy.
On the phone with Joshua Ray Walker here on Red Dirt Road, B104.7. Of course, new album out. Glad you made it. I want to ask a little bit about your writing process, because you do a lot of kind of character-driven pieces. Like I can point to Boat Show Girl, among others. What's your writing process for that? Like, how do you come up with the ideas when you go to put pen to paper?
I've always, I didn't know anything about songwriting when I started.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of always wrote from these different characters' perspectives. And it was pointed out to me later that I do that. Like, about 5 years in, someone was like, hey, you do this. And I was like, oh, you're right. And I started to think a little bit more about why I do that or how, or, you know, how that even happened. And I think I realized that I use these characters, to kind of analyze things about myself that I would otherwise maybe be too self-conscious to talk about. And that's just how it came out. And the characters are based on real people. Sometimes they're based on fictional characters. It's really kind of a conglomeration of a bunch of different people I've met in my life. You know, and you start to find types of people, right? And so little experiences or parts of those people's personalities kind of come together to make one of these characters. And then I use that character to talk about something personal to me.
Well, it's working. Like the voice, both definitely like the voice of the character, the voice of of yourself singing. I mean, it's definitely working. You found something that people identify with a lot, and I think that's awesome, man. Again, a lot of success to you here as we go forward in 2020. I know up until COVID, you did keep a crazy schedule. I read somewhere where you had like, 250 nights a year where you were on stage at some kind. I know that's impossible to keep up in 2020, obviously, but are you trying to get some shows here in 2020 as we get to the back half?
Maybe. You know, the hardest thing about this whole situation is that no one actually knows anything yet.
Sure.
And everything is changing all the time. When South By might get canceled, I said, no way. You know, no one was taking it seriously yet. And then it happened, and that was kind of when everything flipped, and tours started getting canceled, and all festivals started going down, and, you know, at that time, we thought, okay, maybe late summer, we'll be back, and then summer came, and it was like, well, maybe fall, and now we're coming up on fall, and people are saying maybe spring, so there's, I've done some drive-in shows with a company in town called Carburet that have gone really well. You know, they film the show while I'm on a trailer and there's a big screen. And so they pair a show with a movie and it's drive-in style. People stay in their cars and, you know, so that they can safely distance from each other. And that's been pretty good. I did that for Texas Music Revolution down here in Dallas also. They did a drive-in style show. So I'm working on that. I'm also working on doing some more live streaming and pay-per-view stuff. I just canceled a five-week. Well, I didn't just cancel it, but I would have been flying to Europe today, actually, to start a five-week tour.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get some video content made so that I can have some sort of presence in Europe. We're all having to think outside the box and kind of recreate what the music business is, and there's no way to really know what it's going to look like a year from now.
I've noticed, really kind of looking at music all over, country music is adapted to this really quickly, more so than I think pop and rock a little bit. They're trying to do some stuff now, but you had the live streams starting up back, you know, in early April from a lot of artists and the digital concerts and that kind of stuff. Was it something more, because I think a lot of times country connects with its fans a little bit more than some of the other genres. Do you think that had something to do with it?
I think there are a couple of factors. I think that, you know, country music definitely has like a genuine connection to their fan base. You see people going out and doing meet and greets after shows a lot more in this genre than other types of music. And so I think we kind of feel like we owe it to our audience, you know, to figure something out. And then, you know, I think that just based on the kind of where a lot of country musicians come from, there's a lot of like strong work ethic and kind of some resourcefulness, you know, that comes from this genre that I think we felt like we all wanted to figure it out. You know, like we were problem solvers, you know, we wanted to figure out how to bring music to people. And also I think there's an added pressure from country fans as well, because, you know, there are people who think that we shouldn't be out at all, you know, which
right.
I lean more towards that. And then there's a pretty good amount of people who think there's absolutely nothing wrong and everything should be open. And that kind of, you know, a lot of country fans are actually leaning that direction. And so I think there's a kind of pressure from the fan base as well to get out and do something, you know, to get out and play and stuff. So
right.
I think you see a lot more country artists out playing right now than other genres also.
On the phone again with Joshua Ray Walker. And, man, it's been a pleasure to talk to you again. I was looking forward to this when the opportunity arose, because, again, my friend turned me on to you. And Drew is a huge fan, sings your praises on Facebook all the time. But, hey, I'm going to give you the opportunity. Anything you wish to plug right now, from your clothing line to your socials, anything, you have the floor for the last little bit of our interview here, man.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, if you want to find a copy of my record, you can go to statefairrecords.com. And you can find vinyl or CD there of my first record, Wish You Were Here, and also my new record, Glad You Made It, that just came out July 10th. If you want to follow me on social media, you can do so at Joshua Ray Walker on all platforms. You know, I'm on all streaming platforms if you want to listen there, but you should really tune in on terrestrial radio. And, you know, I got some great music videos on YouTube that you can check out, including a new song called Voices off the record Glad You Made It. And, yeah, I also started a clothing line called High, Wide, and Handsome, which you can find at highwideandhandsomepx.com. It's a fully sized inclusive line from small to 6XL. And, you know, gives a little bit of personality to some plus size clothing. So go check that out.
All right, man. Joshua Ray Walker, wish you all the success going forward. And thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And tell your friend that told you about me. I said hi, and I appreciate him spreading the word about State Fair Records.
Will do, man. All right. Hey, thanks for joining us again. Red Dirt Road here on B104.